We should be hearing this now.
And I can make a firm pledge under my plan. No family making less than $250,000.
Let me say it as simply as I can. Transparency and the rule of law will be the touchstone of this president.
That, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Even presidents need reminding that our rights come from nature and God and not from government. The right that makes all the difference now is the right to choose our own leaders. And you are entitled to the clearest possible choice, because the time for choosing is drawing near.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is proud to present your favorite hillbilly, Mr. Kevin Harned.
Favorite hillbillies, as we've got in studio tonight, Dean Whiteman with me tonight.
But you're my favorite hillbilly.
Well, thank you, Dean. I appreciate that. Actually, we've been missing in action for quite some time.
But we're back.
A little bit of technical difficulties, a little other stuff, you know, a little here, a little there. And I can tell you one thing. We're not having near as much of a difficult time as the president right now.
No.
Nor do we deserve it.
No.
So I will say that. It's not necessarily self-wrought.
I'm so happy, though, that finally it's coming back to bite him in the butt.
Let me ask you something, though, Dean. Did you notice how all this stuff broke, like, in a week? I mean, as far as got traction, I mean, everything just kind of really took off like crazy.
Is it trying to keep us away from Benghazi? Benghazi's
one of them. But it was really, really gaining traction. And really, like, in a week, you know, I'm looking at this thing and trying to be subjective. And I really believe.
Right.
I really believe it's not so much that it's trying to keep us away from Benghazi. I really believe it was the AP going off the deep end because of Eric Holder requesting their phone records secretly over a 2-month period.
Oh.
I mean, all of that stuff, maybe? All of that stuff happened. I'm telling you, let tyranny reign upon the citizens, but you best not mess around with your supporting cast.
That's
true.
Does
it have merit?
Right. No, they don't care. I'm sitting here watching all my records from right down at the office being sent right to the government. They know where I drive, who if I own a gun, everything. They know too much. They know where I live.
Well, sure they do.
Google yourself sometime. It'll scare you.
I don't Google myself.
Have you ever?
Yeah.
I used to Google myself a couple times a day.
It scares me.
It should.
But no, all kidding aside, I seriously, seriously believe that's either the press slapping back and letting them know don't mess with us, or
I agree with that.
Or, you know, the whole thing is, though, I mean, once you get this ball rolling, it's hard to put that Pandora's box back in. The box, let's just say.
Yeah.
They could certainly squash it fairly quickly. And they've been, you know, if nothing else.
And let's not forget, the public is fickle. We forget about things immediately.
What's the score of the game right now?
I don't have a clue.
No, I'm just saying that's pretty much the thought process.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Of many frauds, of many hillbillies out there, my fellow hillbillies.
Well, you're exactly right.
You know, I guess, and I had the full intentions of really sounding off on a lot of this stuff tonight, but I'm going to be honest with you. It's getting so much airplay on so many other stations in so many other areas. I think
boring.
A lot of it is really getting covered well.
It is.
So
definitely.
So I'm not going to devote this whole show to it. I do want to throw some different thoughts out there, just like the whole thing with the press, you know, going off the deep end, what I believe is finally doing a little bit of their job after them secretly getting their phone records. I hate to say it, but that's the way I see it.
I think you're exactly right.
I mean, why all of a sudden? Not until then did they actually ask a tough question. Not until then did they actually ask a legitimate question.
Good point.
Since then, you've had true anger.
Real journalism.
Real journalism, and wow, is that Is that like me?
Can you all hear that out there?
I hope not.
Call us and let us know. 347-677-1035.
We're trying to run down the tech issues. We don't have enough to pay
tech.
We don't have the funds to pay a real tech. But
we'll put you on the air.
We will. Honestly, if you call in, 347-677-1835. You know, one of the other things that I really want people to think about.
You're good at that.
Yeah. And that is, let's take a look at this whole thing. Now, honestly, if some of the stuff that hasn't broke lately. Now, granted, do you remember us on this show
playing, I was thinking about that today.
Playing the sound clip of President Obama talking about whenever they drug his body through the streets?
Yep.
Do you remember how he was trying to actually give them kudos at the time? You know, like they were trying to take him to the hospital.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but does anybody – I didn't. You didn't?
They knew it wasn't his fault because it was that dang old film that they made.
Right.
Low budget.
Sure. They felt bad. They felt bad about it. And they were just trying to take him to the hospital.
They protest across the whole country.
As they're dragging him down through the streets dead.
I know.
The whole thing is that
I'm not listening to that.
I know that. Oh. I know that. But the point is, he knew it then. Are you kidding me? I mean, there's no way he didn't know it. And
and
that was the point. That was the point we were trying to make at the time. And if anybody doubts it now, I mean, I saw a story on The Onion today talking about the Obama supporter who's coming up with the different theories on why Obama is not at fault in all of this.
That's hilarious.
The Onion's in on it, folks.
Oh,
I mean, they're but
Saturday Night Live did it. It's good stuff.
It's real stuff.
It's funny when it's real.
It's insane.
That is what it is.
But let's take this one step further. Now, if we just glance at the IRS thing, especially on the surface, one of my first thoughts. Now, we wait till Thursday, our show on Thursday, correct?
Right.
Sometimes we wait several Thursdays.
Well.
But in this case, we had to wait till Thursday. And right out of the gate, I'm thinking, why is nobody bringing up the specter of these 16,000 new IRS agents that we've hired to help implement Obamacare? And why wouldn't that be a concern that it may not only affect your health care, but that of your families in critical decisions on what is afforded and what isn't? If we've got a punitive mindset from a government agency that we are paying, that is true tyranny in its worst degree.
Oh, it's tyrannical. We have gone tyrannical.
Absolutely we have.
Yep.
And it is absolutely time to end the IRS. Beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Oh.
I mean, end it. Close it.
Well,
close it down. There is no reason. I want everybody to think about
it. I've been saying that for a decade.
Now, I want everybody to think about several aspects here. For one thing, there are several things that's happened in the last couple of years, several statements that have been made that should raise huge flags for everybody out there.
Yeah.
Well, Hillary Clinton has made some comments along these lines, along with other people that have been high, especially in education, along in other areas, and that is that our children, that we are going to take steps forward when parents finally start realizing that we don't own our kids, that the community and society owns them.
Well, it takes a village.
It takes a village. But the point here being, why would they even be able to get that perspective that they own the kids? I really want you to think about this.
That the government owns the kids?
Yeah. I mean, why do they feel like that they've got ownership in the kids now?
Because if you really want to indoctrinate the kids, you got to get them young.
Yes, and they've been doing that.
Germany, they did that.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
And it ended up very, look at that.
Whoa, it took the whole world to stop that.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes, it did.
Hitler was a crazy man, but the Hitler youth were.
Oh, absolutely. No, I know.
You get some meth and send them out with guns.
Yeah.
You'll take Bulgaria.
Yeah. And Poland and many other places. France,
We'll drop the bomb up your.
Right. here's one of the things that I want you to just roll around in there. out there in the space of computer land, and yeah. that is, what do we get? But we get tax credits for our kids, correct?
Yes.
So whenever we go and we write off our kids, that, if you look at every way else that the IRS and the government looks at anything.
Oh, they figure we just wrote off our kids so they can have them.
They have purchased. They have money invested in those kids.
No.
Because, no. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about every single write-off that you have.
They don't have much money.
No, they don't. They don't, but they don't have to have a lot.
No, they can't.
It's like a minority investor grabbing the majority shares.
So they get them every other Wednesday and...
No. No, they want them.
No, here's legal custody of my kids.
Here's the thing. They let you take care of them. They let you change the diapers. They let you do everything else.
They're the daddy,
you know,
and I'm the mommy.
But they're going to have the final say-so on how you raise that kid, on what you tell that kid, what you teach that child, all the way along the lines. And we give them that little window into our life by those silly little write-offs that we get through the IRS. Am I saying it justifies it? Absolutely not. It's insane. But I'm telling you, it's the way they rationalize everything.
Well, I think we let them into our lives with the phone tapping. With what? There are many ways.
Well, yeah, but look at it this way. Now they are claiming ownership in some of our private individual 401ks.
Yeah, I know.
Now why are they claiming that they can possess or that we owe them the ability to reach into our 401ks? Why?
I don't know that they're even claiming that. I think
they're claiming it. They're openly claiming it. Some of them are openly claiming because they're tax deferred. The government has not taxed you on that money, so we in essence have a stake in your savings.
All of it or 25%?
No.
What are we talking?
And here's the whole thing too. They're taking that even further. It's not tax free. It's deferred. You're going to pay taxes on it.
If it all hit the fan and say I had $10,000 in an IRA, are they talking that, well, you would owe me a 25% of that? I'm just going to throw out a number.
With penalties,
so
sure.
I'm going to take $2,500. Or are they saying, man, the country is really in dire straits. I'm taking all $10,000.
I am not. All I'm saying is that they are justifying. They are justifying.
Yeah.
Even looking into the aspects of being able to reach in and use those funds for public sector projects because they're tax deferred.
The taxable part of the income?
No.
Or the entire income?
No.
The entire $10,000?
Yeah. Now, this was a balloon that
really?
Was floated. This was a balloon, at least, say, 50%. This was a balloon that was floated around under President Clinton. I remember it vividly. He was talking about the trillions that was in savings accounts then. Now, there is enough in savings accounts to retire the national debt in private savings accounts. Now,
really?
Yeah, well, there is more money in private savings accounts, retirement accounts, than there is that we owe.
We could pay off China with this.
Yes. Now. Back then,
USA, way to go, guys.
Back then, I remember President Clinton throwing it out there, a little trial balloon, saying that what if, because we've got these guys that invest the money that invest these retirement accounts,
right.
And they're held to very strict standards on what they can,
right.
What they can invest this
Cha-ching.
Money in.
Right.
So, they were wanting to alleviate them of like 50%. Of that control and say that they could invest it into private housing, public housing, Section 8 homes, all kinds of other things.
Right.
And that the government wouldn't hold them accountable if anything happened to those funds. See, so, I mean, they were going to free them up to allow them to invest in the great opportunities that the private sector would have in different kinds of social programs.
I see.
So, again, they are just dying to be able to get at those 401ks and other things in the private industry.
Oh,
or the private
salivating.
So what I'm saying is the number one defense they've got right now is the fact that they call them tax deferred. So that gives them, well, you shouldn't complain. Those are tax deferred. The government has been has very been lenient. Gracious, very lenient yeah. to the slave.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't get their hands on the trillions of dollars going on, at least multi-billions, but I would imagine trillions yearly in the healthcare industry, so they made up Obamacare.
Well, and yeah, actually they have
so
now. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so now, they'll find a way. If this doesn't work, they'll find a way.
If we just look at it.
And why can't I have my Obama Chia Pet? Why are these things, you know, they'll pull that off, but they'll go after, you know, and that scares me. Google yourself sometime.
I am tired of hearing you talk about Googling me.
Conservative talk show, and now they're going after us.
No, absolutely.
I'm getting audited.
Right.
I'm not getting audited, but it could happen. You know what I'm saying?
There have been some strange things that have happened.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Lately?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, last fall.
This week.
Last fall, I got a very strange letter. No, telling me that that they have record of me paying some money into my 2009 taxes, but that they can't locate them, and that I need to resubmit them and all kinds of other things, or else I'm going to lose all the
resubmit
credit.
Resubmit your monies?
No, resubmit my forms and everything, which I've done, and I've still gotten letters from them. But what they're saying is that this money will be null and void after 3 years if they did not receive it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if I paid money in and I wrote a check,
uh-huh.
that I submitted my taxes, and they do too.
Well, this has been going on since 2010, they said, so you're part of it.
Yeah, I think,
that's
yeah.
what you
I
you
well,
should have had a fishing show.
Here's I'm gonna say it again. There is no reason for any government agency to be able to have the kind of control that the IRS does.
No, there's not.
Now, I'm sorry, but when I remember there was a children's clothing store over in Illinois. There was a couple that had started one, and they had opened up three different branches.
Okay.
They came under IRS scrutiny. They came in, they locked their doors. They shut them down while they audited and inventoried everything in their stores for like 2 months.
Wow.
They could not. So in this process, the folks lost their stores.
Sure, no.
And didn't owe any money. Now there is I know
a
guy
that government.
No. No. Now we work with a guy who in a very bad slow period in the early 90s, there was another little slow, it wasn't anything like this.
Yeah.
His wife was in an automobile accident. She received a settlement, which she was physically harmed.
Okay.
Legitimately, but and you know the individual I'm talking about. We could talk about it off mic, but there is he got I think it was 30 or 50,000 at that time is what they received.
Okay.
Well, he got audited, and they pulled him in, and they wanted him to pay taxes on that money. Well, it's untaxable money because it was an insurance settlement.
Right.
But they said because he hadn't been working. And they were living off of that money, that made it taxable, and he owed the money for that money.
I know who you're talking about.
And in turn, he went ahead and paid it because he was afraid that he would be under scrutiny and they would come after him just flat out on everything that he had. And that was the impression that he was given from the agent at the time.
Well, imagine.
You can play ball, or you know what? We could really dig into this and see what's going on.
And see, exactly.
The bottom line is that in today's society, we need to get any of that kind of situation where you've got the opportunity for tyranny out of the hands of these public bureaucrats.
I heard a good poll taken today. Are you afraid of your government?
I am afraid of human nature. And whenever you give human nature the opportunity for any kind of tyranny or any kind of power grab, then eventually somebody's going to take it. It's going to happen.
Right.
You're going to naturally migrate toward that.
Oh, absolutely.
And the thing is,
put a
is
guy
that
in office that can get the vote and do it for you.
So look, they own part of our children because we have them as tax write-offs. That's just the way they feel.
Yeah.
They own part of our 401k because it's tax deferred.
Yeah.
Think about it. If everybody, if you'd filed a short form, what good is an audit against you unless you've got monies earned that you haven't filed on? So they want, think about this entity that wants you to have to fill out all these documentation to be able to keep a little bit more of your money that they can come back and hammer you on later.
Good point.
And that's exactly all it is leverage. And it's also not only do they influence the buying patterns of the American public, but they also make you jump through hoops, spend money, everything else, to keep more of your money and then dangle it over your head like a sword that they could drop at any given time. Now, it's time to end the IRS, and it's time to go to something.
How do you do that?
The fair tax.
How do you do that?
The fair tax.
It would end the IRS.
It would end the IRS.
Then it'll never happen.
Here's my greatest fear on that, too, and that is that you've got politicians on both sides that will not want to see this power that this Ways and Means Committee possesses that writes the tax law. Let's just say that you're a window manufacturer, Dino. All right, well, guess what? You're going to sell a whole lot more windows if we give a $5,000 rebate for people that buy new weatherproof windows.
I remember that.
So,
okay.
So I mean, what you look at this and what's the opportunity that you're going to take care of me in this case, too? In other words, you're going to take the power, so much power away from the lobbyists, too, because so much of this lobbying is done on the tax code. And if you get rid of that and you go to a consumption tax, you are letting the people decide what they want to spend their money on, and you're taking this tyranny, this layer of tyranny away. This threat.
Well, then how does the fair tax, I mean, it's got to go through the House, the Senate, it has to get voted upon.
And that's just it. You're going to see, like I said, members of all parties that are not going to want to give up that power. The most powerful body in the world, in my opinion today, is the Ways and Means Committee that writes the tax code for this country.
Then there's a whole lot of, no offense,
and even
in my uneducated, as far as this opinion would go, I would think those are the people that are getting the graft.
And this is just it. And this is this right now. This right now, while everything is...
Nice house.
While everything is in the spotlight, while we're talking about this, while everything's out hot and heavy,
yes,
these points need to be addressed, that we really need to look at the fair tax and look at it seriously. Dave Court has started a series on Saturday evenings here on Missouri Grassroots Coalition Radio to try to educate the folks on exactly how the fair tax works.
Dave Court is... What a great name for this.
And Dave is, you know,
radio
he's...
Radio name, Dave. Sorry, I mean, just really.
It is. He does a great job. But the bottom line is that it's been around for a long time. It's been studied for almost two decades, or right around two decades. There's been millions spent in research on this. And it's the only way to really, really free society from this tyranny that we are seeing that is taking place right now. You could forget about so many of the different issues and the problems we have, plus the 90 whatever thousand pages of the tax code that we've got right now. Really? 90 plus
stupid.
Thousand?
That's not 90 plus thousand. That's not all tax code, though. That's other stuff written in for it, too. I'm sure people throw in...
It's all part of it, though.
Multiple pages. I know.
And
help me out with this. Why was the IRS started? Wasn't it during World War I they started the IRS just to get some extra money to help fund the war?
Whatever, during different periods of time in the past, they have instituted taxes at least temporarily.
Pre-World War I?
Yes, at least temporarily,
okay,
to try to fund efforts of war and other things. Now, it did not become instituted and left in.
Yeah.
Until they made a constitutional amendment allowing them to do so.
And was the constitutional amendment pre or pro, past, post World War I?
Well, we will. I'll give you the
date. You know
what?
I should Google stuff like that.
Absolutely,
baby.
You should Google.
But it's just, you know, that's what
it,
I had
it
always
is.
Heard
I'm sure it's post. I
know
I don't
they
know
saw
the...
so much money coming in. the government just didn't want to give it up. But I don't know that it was their place back then in 19, I should know these dates, 15, we'll say whenever World War One ended. They shouldn't have been able to keep the thing going, is my whole point.
Right.
It should have just stopped null and void right then. And I understand why the government said, you know, no, and I understand why they take it out of our check, because if we were to go ahead and just pay quarterly or send one huge check at the end of the year, that would never happen.
Absolutely.
People wouldn't send the money, and they wouldn't have the money.
You would finally see outrage that should be there in the first place.
Oh, it should be, but you just don't notice it. Those are all just numbers you don't really think about. Really? I was an extra $350 there they took out? That adds up.
Well, they did get a lot of revenue from imported and exported goods back through the years, and we know that's also caused some major issues. And actually, whenever you're looking at the fair tax, it would not be levied against our exported goods, but it would be against imported goods because it's a consumption tax, which would also help our manufacturers.
Well, yeah, that's what I was starting to say. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with let's export and let's get it all around the world. But the people shipping it into us should pay a little extra.
And you were right. It was 1913.
There we go. In 1913, we took a little trip. Gave all our money.
Right down the 16th Amendment,
Washington,
baby.
Washington, D.C.
But the bottom line is that it's something that we really should strike while the iron is hot. We should strike while the iron's hot, and we really need to educate people.
We could end all these IRS offices. We could stop all that with the fair tax.
Well, you could get rid of all the all the MoveOn.orgs, all the rest of that kind of stuff too. Now they've got stake in this. All of these different organizations do.
Yeah,
and quite frankly. There we go again, and I support some of these organizations, but I'm sorry, I'm not going to support them at the cost of, of society as we know it, really.
I hate to admit, but yeah, the world is a changing place, and we are not going in the right direction.
And MoveOn.org is not one that I support. I'm thinking more along the lines of, like, NRA, other organizations.
NRA.
Now, but here's the thing, and I don't know, pretty well, they're pretty good about just sticking to gun issues, period, which is what they should do.
The NRA.
Yeah. I mean,
the government should just...
But here's the whole thing. I mean, that change would affect all these organizations,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them are not going to like that. But quite frankly, it would be a very good thing for the country.
I agree.
Can you imagine
a time again, Kevin, when a few hundred people marching onto the grounds of Jefferson City, we're here in Missouri, so our capital, would scare your political representative? Remember a time, we don't remember, but we've heard that, in days past, in the first few presidencies and whatnot, you were voted in. You weren't making much money, and you really worried about what your constituents worried about.
Well, here's
the
thing.
Just how much I made an extra $5 million. I have to vote this way, and everybody will forgive me. And if they don't, I made an extra $5 million.
I really believe that on the national level, politics is lost.
It is.
With the way that the Senate has been changed.
Let's get them following us now. How do we start that one over?
Here's how you start it over, and that is at the very local level. You start at the localist level as you possibly can. It sounds funny. It sounds goofy. It sounds everything else. You try to strip as much power, especially from the federal government, that you possibly can. Except for its enumerated powers in the Constitution, you move everything back to the state because you can get some things done at the state level.
Absolutely.
You can get it done at the local level. And if you start locally and work your way up through the state, then you are going to have a much greater impact. Whenever those folks get removed from this politics, head on to the national politics in Washington, the whole spectrum changes.
Yeah, it does.
The whole thing changes.
Well, sure.
And we—that's why they do not
they
need
get power
to be making decisions.
They get money and it changes.
They're
the
insulated,
whole, right?
And they don't need to be making decisions that affect things that are outside of the spectrum of the federal government. So, I mean, whatever Indeed. They are initially enumerated to take care of, that is what they need to take care of, and that only. They need to get out of the rest of it, period.
I'm all for that. I'm all for smaller government.
And what they've done is, again, what have we done? Now, much like the tax code, what have we done? We get the states to send us all of this money along with all these other little income areas, whether it's fuel taxes, whether it's anything else. All this comes to Washington, and then they dole it out as they see fit. And in the process, they are A, buying favor, and B, threatening reprisals.
Exactly.
So,
as we're seeing,
again, you stop that flow, and as much as we can, people that, and here's the problem, there's so many people that are benefiting directly, personally, from those fundings that come out of Washington, that it's going to be very difficult to get so much of the society to buy into this.
No, I know it. And you better believe, you better fear reprisal from them, too.
Yeah.
They're the ones that really go out and hammer the streets and believe whatever's said to them. As they're handing you your smartphone, they're telling you something, and you believe it.
So I'm going to close on this with that, and that is, it is time to rid us of the IRS and the tyranny that is involved. Americans should not have to live with that over their head constantly, and this just magnifies it. To think of 16,000 more IRS agents now going over our health records, now enforcement. That's the enforcement agency for the new health care and national health care, and that should – I don't care. You're going to hear people saying, that they'd never do bull crap. That they would do it in a heartbeat.
Sure they would.
And
people
that's,
will say that, though. They're oblivious.
That's what people need to realize, and they need to realize it as soon as possible.
I wish you'd have realized it for our last election, you 51%ers.
Oh, if you like your little input, if you agree, disagree, anything else, you can give us a call at 347-677-1835. In the meantime, we are going to get a little bit of Missouri grassroots propaganda out here.
Cool.
It's good propaganda, though.
I hope so.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for Grassfire Alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
And welcome back to Hillbilly Logic with Dean and Kevin in studios tonight. Rich joins us a whole lot. He's not in here with us this evening. Hopefully, maybe we can get in here on the next show. Again, hopefully we can start getting fairly regular on these. Scheduling at work and some other issues have kind of put the kibosh on it. Dealing with the IRS and other tyrannic agencies. No, but the bottom line is folks, seriously, all along, think about it. I mean, whenever you are offered, whenever they come out with these write-offs on your taxes, again, it's just another way to get in our lives and to also hold it over us. Again, you know, if you don't have those write-offs, if you don't have the other things, then there is, what is an audit? But just checking to see how much you've made.
That's true.
Really?
That's true.
It takes a power away from them.
Well, that'd be fine. I'm okay with that.
And it's something that definitely needs to be done.
That or get in my life a whole lot more. I need more writing.
And no. No, what we need is we need the closing of that organization. Earl Williams here in Missouri is very, very, very educational on that front too, and I know that he's been communicating with Dave Court, and we had Earl on the show one time, and I just think that it makes perfect sense. If not now, it makes more sense than that than ever before. Another agency, and I don't care if you look at this a little more on the worldwide spectrum, but it is something that they were actually trying to change the currency. I mean, it's hard to get everybody to buy into a one world currency. We've always been scratching and clawing and fighting against that, right?
Right.
Every time it's brought up, I mean, you know, it's like most Americans are not gonna play ball on a one world currency.
Well, we read the Bible.
Well, yeah, many do. But on top of that, too, if you look over there, the euro, if you look at other things, I mean, it was a predictable disaster, and we're seeing the byproducts of it.
Why don't we just deal in gold coins again?
And you know what? There are some that are trying to institute a gold standard.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes, it would, but it wouldn't go along very well with a cashless society or the control that they seek or they need.
No, I know.
And
the scanning of the chip in the arm is, you know.
The ultimate, once again, the ultimate for that was the attempt on the whole climate change, global warming scene. And that was the attempt to get us on a one world currency. It really was. Because I don't care how you look at it. It's not taking everybody's currency out of your pocket. But what it is doing is it's giving you an allotment of carbon credits that once you've spent out, you're done.
All
your
right.
cash is no good.
No.
So in essence, what is that but another form of currency?
Exactly.
It's exactly what it is.
With a limit on it.
Right.
Well, I guess you could buy more.
You could only purchase what somebody else was willing to sell you. But again, what would be more valuable, the carbon credits or the cash? The carbon credits. And talk about total control over buying patterns. All you would have to do is institute a high carbon credit count against products you didn't want the consumers going to,
like
fuel, like gas, maybe milk, maybe other things
so
that you don't want to.
If I didn't work somewhere and get my carbon credits, yeah. The
but that would be, that would come from the government,
that's
the
like
carbon credits.
Throne.
Absolutely. So there we go, and they were actually going to implement that
yeah.
in Great Britain, and you can look it up. You had Al Gore going over there and advising them and everything else, and what a scam and a liar and a cheat he is.
I was about before but, when you said that with Al immediately comes to my mind when I think of green energy because, you know, he made a billion off of it. And now I know that the inside of the Earth's core is millions of degrees, which
well,
I had
just,
no idea about.
A few meters. Just a few meters. I mean, what's the surface of the sun? About 10,000 degrees?
But if he could have gotten his hand inside that with the whole world currency, that dude
he ought to be in jail.
I know he should.
This guy has been.
Any one of us would have been.
He's been testifying before Congress as a professional. I mean, it's just. And they've been trying to enact.
Tipper seemed nice.
Well,
she Tipper, left him. I bet you she was nice.
She may have been.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not gonna pass
any smut on her, did we?
I'm not gonna pass a Tipper judgment. No.
Let's see. There you go.
But I do know, like I said, Al Gore is a liar, a thief, and
mm-hmm.
a cheat.
Right.
Well, and that is in my opinion.
He learned from the best.
And that is in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I think highly of my opinion.
Well,
especially in this case.
He was tutored.
Well, the bottom.
He didn't do as well.
So he goes over there, and you got David Miliband over there that is going to implement. They had it set up. They were going to implement this global. I mean, not this global, but this carbon credit system.
I remember
that was going to go on a card. That was going to go on a credit card that the people were allotted a set amount every month.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And whenever it was gone, it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, they were going to do it. If it hadn't been for the crash of 2008, it would have been in place.
I think you're absolutely right.
So they've had to back off of it. Now you had the Euro disaster over there, which they've now got six quarters.
Isn't that funny how that worked, though?
Yes, it is. It put a major wrench
sure
in their
did.
Whole plan.
Nice.
And
way
you look
to go world.
Now, and the point is, we're looking, and again, one of the things that I hate is whenever you constantly see,
like you don't like it.
These statements of all credible. Well, any is that me or what? Any credible.
Yeah, any credible what?
That is not true, folks. Any credible scientist would agree. Well, I mean, you know, their constant attempt to try to marginalize any kind of opposition or true dialogue on any of this stuff is what is truly dangerous, and we've seen it constantly over the course of the last handful of years here too. I mean, anytime that you go to try to engage in any kind of conversation like that, then you try to be marginalized from folks that have agendas on any side of the coin.
On the scientific side of it, you mean? On the
scientific side, you know, you could look at all different social side. You could look at all different types of different areas, and you've constantly got people that are afraid to engage in true conversation on something because, quite frankly, their argument doesn't hold water on many fronts.
Well, we should get a good scientist on here and have a show on that.
I would love to do that.
How do we get a hold of Bill Nye?
I thought you said a good
guy.
Scientist.
He's the scientist.
Oh,
guy.
He's the clown.
Well, okay.
He's bought into all that global warming stuff too, which would be fine.
Okay.
I mean, I guess if they want to come
on
with
the
that.
Other side.
But one of the things I've been doing and doing intentionally,
mm-hmm.
I've been looking at news stories from quote credible sources on scientific. Discoveries on other things. You're constantly seeing new discoveries every single day that blow things out of the water from what was previously believed
Absolutely.
To be true.
Absolutely.
Constantly.
Yep.
Every single day.
See it on YouTube all the time.
And whatever we're seeing, I don't know if you've noticed this.
Yeah.
Huh? But it's on
YouTube. Yeah. Well, there's
you've been
of
in the Bigfoot videos way too much lately.
Well, UFOs.
here's the we
oh,
had
epic fails. All right, go ahead.
Yes, we had some relatives in from Kentucky on Sunday, and I mentioned the Carrington event, and I'm talking about, you know, because they were talking about climate change and other things. I said the greatest, you know, you look at things that the different cataclysmic events that have happened through history,
and
just realize that things have been so cyclical, along with, you know. You look back and the patterns are there. I don't care. The scientists will tell you about, you know, the 100,000-year warming and cooling patterns, the everything else, period. You know, and they will inadvertently admit to this stuff in some of their articles as they're writing about other things, but then they'll turn around and say that, no, we are the brunt. We've got to massively shut down everything. We've got to turn total control over to the government, everything else, and the arguments that are circled around climate change.
Well, they're circled around
Dean,
all the graphs under the table that we didn't hear about.
If we look at
it,
things from just a couple thousand years ago.
Let's go 30 years.
Well, let's go 30 years.
Yeah.
There was a city the other day
that
just surfaced that was completely engulfed with water 30 years ago, and now it's dry again. So, I mean, you know, the whole thing is the oceans, they're constantly changing. The water levels, the continents, the plates are moving. Everything is constantly changing all the time.
Yeah.
And we have cities that were major trade hubs in the Middle East that 2,000 years ago were major trade hubs. Now they're under 15 feet of water. They're totally submerged.
Right.
Totally.
That's what 2,000 years old. Do at like but, 1 inch a year and stuff will move.
But guess what? And some things rise, some things lower, something. I mean, all that stuff is constantly changing.
That's right.
And what we're looking at the other day.
Hang on.
The other day I saw.
Well, I mean.
I've never been to the Florida Keys, but I know that it's one of your more favorite spots.
It's just there's palm trees and you can drive to it. I love it.
The other day I saw something warning that the next great threat would be. A superstorm in California.
Oh, well, really?
Yeah, that it would be...
What's a superstorm?
It would be a storm that lasted for many days and would sustain winds of hurricane force,
okay.
Which there is a history of.
There is? How often?
There is a history of one about 150 years ago, actually.
Wasn't it around 1860?
1861, well, I want to say.
I can do math. You said 150 years.
But... but the bottom line is, again,
yeah.
You know, what would they do but blame this 45-day storm on global warming? Let me give you...
Oh, of course. Well, because there's money to be made, and you
let
have
me,
to...
And control.
Well, and control, obviously, but you also have, you know, everything is based on sensationalism. Completely. I can't watch the weather forecast anymore. I just look at my phone now.
They do a lot of teasing.
Oh, my gosh.
But let me... Let's talk about this, too, and it's also another human characteristic.
Yeah.
My wife, me, our little dog, and our granddaughter, our two-year-old granddaughter's in the living room last night.
Okay.
A mosquito lands on my dog's head.
Okay.
I guess it came in from the door. I don't know. But a mosquito lands on my dog's head, and my granddaughter's looking at it. My wife reaches over and slowly, and then pops the dog on the head, which the dog doesn't know what's going on. He left out a little yelp.
Yeah.
And she goes, "I'm sorry, Tinker," which is a dog's name, you know, like she's going to understand.
No.
You know,
Tinker might what understand. You just,
but the whole point is that the dog yelped, you know, she swatted the mosquito. Now, what does my granddaughter do?
Oh, swatted the dog.
My granddaughter walks over to it.
Smacked
2 years
it
old
head.
Now, and, yeah. And she raises her hand and she goes, "She's got mosquitoes." And
wait,
starts
and
to
pointed at what, Tinker?
No, yeah, but she starts to swat her and says, "She's got mosquitoes," like she's got fleas.
Right.
No, it don't work that way. She saw the mosquito on the dog
exactly.
And thought the mosquito came from the dog.
Oh,
and that's
out. Yep.
That's human nature,
yeah,
okay?
Right.
I mean, whenever we look around at the weather patterns or anything else, then we associate...
We must have created this.
In our limited spectrum, we associate what is going on with something that we assign it to.
Yep.
It could be us. It could be anything else. I've never seen this kind of weather before, so it must be us.
That's exactly true.
It is true. It's the same thing that my two-year-old granddaughter did last night, whenever she associated the mosquito with the dog producing the mosquitoes.
Every time I get a little shake in my leg, I think my phone's going off, and I look down and realize I don't even have my phone with me. But I associate it with that.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. That's
so,
human nature.
So they are using that.
I can see
they
that.
Are using that.
That
how many times have you ever been?
Yeah, that was a good point.
How many times have you ever been in a gas station? You're in there, you know, getting a soda.
Okay.
And it's like last year, that heat spell that we went through.
Mm, yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, we never had weather like this when we was a kid. I don't know. Evidently, they had AC whenever they were kids. Because I'm going to tell you, we didn't until I was almost a teenager.
Right.
I was at least 11 years old.
Like that? A drought?
Yeah. I mean, just here's the thing. Again, you're talking about such a narrow window. Now,
that's
granted,
true.
Granted.
20, 30 years, 50, 60 years.
Granted, yeah, absolutely. Granted,
well,
now,
yeah.
I do remember, you know, going out and getting on ice on the ponds and stuff a whole lot more than we ever could now.
Absolutely.
I mean, there was a lot of times the ponds were frozen, and we'd get out there and beat around on them.
I grew up at the lake, and it was a foot thick every year.
Right. Now, how often does that happen anymore? It doesn't
Not
happen.
At all.
It doesn't happen.
Not at
but
all.
The bottom line is we can't just relate from that
well,
tiny window that all of a sudden that.
But we have learned. See, 30 years ago, at 15 years old, I'm watching the news thinking this stinks. We're going into an ice age.
And we were told
we were
going
into
an ice
age.
Right.
It's never been so cold. And, you know, we just came 30 years ago. It was hot. And now it's cold. And, oh, it's so bad. The whole world's going to freeze over. I saw pictures of the whole world freezing over. Now, the polar ice caps are going to melt. And we're all going to be underwater, and the poor polar bears. Okay, well, we're already starting on the way back down, and in, so, 25 years, I'd say we're going to be back at that 30 years, and we're going to be going into an ice age again, and it's going to be sensationalized, but I am looking forward to ice skating on the ponds again. I'll be about 75, I could break a hip.
Now, there is historical data that suggests that there are, like, 60-year cycles on much of this stuff.
60? Not 30?
60. Okay. Especially like in the Arctic and so forth. Now,
so
now again,
at the height of the heat right now, is it going to get worse for another?
I don't know,
years?
But there was something else that I was going with the sunspots earlier.
Yeah,
That's with the global, with the climate change, with the relatives and stuff. And that was, you know, you look at other things like sunspots, sunstorm, solar flares, that kind of thing. Those things
sunspots,
possess
yeah.
more.
Yeah.
Did you know that that there have been four monstrous solar flares in the last 48 hours?
I heard something about the solar flares, but I didn't hear any specifics on it.
Four monstrous solar flares.
Did we get some radiation from the...
They weren't. It wasn't directed toward us.
It wasn't?
But unlike the Carrington event...
I thought I had some more hair fallout.
Unlike the Carrington event from about 150 years ago also...
Refresh me quickly on the Carrington event. What exactly was the Carrington event?
Well, quite frankly...
Just the gist.
Okay, the gist. I'll give you the gist. We had a situation in the mid-1800s. I believe it was 1861, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Try to look it up. But the bottom line is that during this particular solar flare that shot out... it was
in 1861.
I'm thinking that was a year. I have to look that up.
Okay, so back then, 150-ish years ago.
Again, you know, we had a lot of stuff going on around that same time frame.
Well, I guess we had telescopes 150 years ago.
And this was, yes, it was. Let's see here. The Carrington event was actually 1859.
Do you look at the sun through a telescope?
So here's, well, they would use it. They would direct one on the sun and then look at the result on paper or something else down below.
Oh, like the poke a hole in the box trick.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
So in 1859, this particular Richard Carrington is the one that witnessed this solar flare that was huge.
On the paper? Cool.
Yes. Now, so he drew it out, you know, what it looked like and everything else immediately following. But whenever that thing hit the earth, it was insane. It says that... at midnight, in many parts of the world, you could read a newspaper from the northern lights and everything being so bright.
Neat. Yeah.
And but the point is that, I mean, everywhere. It says that over the Rocky Mountains, it was so bright that the glow awoke the gold miners who began preparing breakfast because they thought it was morning.
That's funny.
People who happened to be awake in the northeastern U.S. could read newspapers by the aurora's light. The aurora was visible from as far as from the poles as Cuba and Hawaii.
Wow!
So, but the thing was too that the telegraph machines went haywire, and in this particular thing and in this event, it was shocking telegraph operators. They couldn't get near the equipment, so they unhooked the batteries and everything from the telegraph machines, and they could still send and receive messages for like 2 days.
Really?
Without any batteries attached.
Wow.
And
solar power.
It also set even some of the telegraph paper started fires. So, I mean, this if you could only fathom what something like that would do to today's technology.
Oh, it'd fry it all.
All of the
neat. Serious.
Our show would be over.
Our show would be over. I'm just barely figuring out my phone. I wouldn't have to play with these computers anymore.
You wouldn't. It would be a total wipeout of anything and everything. There would be absolutely no way that they could protect the satellites from
the
flares of that.
The UFOs won't let that happen.
No, they won't.
We'll be fine.
Oh, it's a boat.
Stop looking out the window. And I'm just
No, it's just true, though. I mean, you know, when we look at different things like that, okay, here's a couple of stories from this week.
Yeah.
from this week, okay? A prehistoric shoreline runs along the eastern edge of North America. Scientists have pointed to it as evidence that much of the Antarctic ice melted 3 million years ago, okay?
Okay.
But new research suggests this shoreline is actually about 30 feet lower than previously thought, meaning less ice melted than was suspected.
That's more believable.
So here we go. I mean, you know, the finding shows that scientists have to be careful when looking at Earth for evidence of past sea level changes from the planet's cycles of glacial advance and retreat.
Absolutely.
This is in an article that is off of a scientific magazine site.
What if not even the water going up and down? What if the plate shifts and the mountain moves up 3 inches? The ocean didn't go down.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely. Here's a geologist at the University of Chicago. You simply can't go somewhere and look at the height of the shoreline and infer anything about the amount of water in the oceans or the height of the sea level without already knowing an awful lot about what the mantle is doing. Now, there's a classic case. What do they use? They use the levels of the where the ocean is and how it's rising on the seashore and everything mm-hmm. else all the time.
Yep.
That's their number one primary argument.
Yep.
And here they're saying that it's all a crock of crap.
Well, you just have to put a rock right there at the edge of the water and come back and see.
And that's it. And whenever it's really freaky hopefully when you got high tide and low tide and everything else. But here's a ghost town in Argentina has resurfaced after spending a quarter century underwater. So Epicuan,
nice.
A resort located in the farmland southwest of the Buenos Aires, used to have a population of 1,500 with 20,000 tourists every season. But in 1985, the lake overflowed after a heavy rainstorm and water surged through a retaining wall, flooding the streets. The residents fled, and in several days, the homes were buried under almost 33 feet of salt water.
Oh, wow.
So it's been underwater this entire time. After 25 years, the waters have retreated, leaving behind an eerie landscape of cracked earth, spindly trees, and rusted automobile frames. So you go on and on and on. And cold. But the superstorm that they're predicting for California, they're saying that they'll get another one. Well, from 1861, whenever that thing hit, it rained and stormed and 125-mile-per-hour winds, everything else, for 45 days.
Can you imagine?
And it was so flooded. I mean, it was devastating. It bankrupted the state of California. We think California's bankrupt today? That
wow.
bankrupted the state of California back then.
Wow.
And the point is, again, what would that be attributed to and blamed on today?
Oh, global warming.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, no doubt about it.
But yet it's a natural phenomenon.
Well.
And again, you know, we will take these numbers, we will take this different stuff, and we will twist it to fit the arguments that we want.
Did they say how often, storms like this happen?
Well, I know on the...
Was it every 150? Are we due for one?
They said about every 200 is what they guessed on that.
Nice. Now, wait a second. Madrid, we're due for that one, too. That's every couple hundred years, isn't it?
We are due for a lot of things. We claim the super volcano and Yellowstone Park, everything else. We're due for all this kind of stuff.
Oh, Yellowstone. Forget about it. We're all doomed.
But if we look at the sun, you know, the sun is on 11-year cycles.
11 years?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that kind of stuff, we're around long enough to get that kind of
data.
Now, what
is it, big solar flares on 11 years, or it's just the Earth's tilt?
It's got different seasons, but yeah, they have their own storm seasons on the sun.
Okay.
And that generally will fluctuate around 11 years, but you also have, you have a longer season, too.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is, again, whenever we're looking at these different things that they take into account, very seldom do you ever hear any of that kind of statistics thrown around.
No. Very good point.
Something else very weird. Did you know that we're due for a comet in September that is supposed to rival the brightness of the moon?
Nice.
Yeah.
Good. That'll be some good... photo opportunities. Is there a UFO behind this one?
I don't know.
Purple shoe people.
I told you this whole YouTube stuff.
What? No. That really happened.
Okay.
Okay.
I believe that. It's irrefutable.
Yeah.
It's a better argument.
So it's the big UFO that flew into the volcano.
It's a better argument than I didn't know anything about Benghazi. I have no idea about this IRS stuff. Fast and Furious, you know, that was the guy before me.
There's a lot of that.
I'm telling you.
That's not very good. You could go the other route with it, though. Get belligerent. Like, you know, what does it matter? Does it really matter?
Here's the bottom line.
Actually, yes, it did.
November 28th, Dan, you want to get your cameras out.
This
because
year?
It says on November 28th, it should be brighter than a full moon. Some places are estimating.
Nice.
Some places are estimating, some agencies are estimating it could be even 15 times brighter than the moon.
15 times brighter. Now, how close is it going to be to the Earth?
I mean, I have seen where you could actually, I wouldn't suggest it.
Yeah.
But, like, let's say that at least if you're riding a bicycle, okay, that's not quite as.
You could ride at night?
You could ride at night on a gravel road with you know.
You can't ride on a gravel road.
Don't tell me I can't. I've done it.
You can, but I know. My sister did, too.
Oh.
And now we call the one area Chip Tooth Curve, so.
Oh, I got you.
Yep.
Well,
love you, Wendy.
We are looking at least you don't call her Leon.
She doesn't listen to us anymore. Leon. That's so bad.
That's
a Sphinx joke.
but it says, as of now, the comet is making its descent toward the sun at 47,000 miles per hour. The only reason why they even know it's on its way is the Hubble. Again, you know, again, we are limited by our equipment and our knowledge. But yet we want to act like we have the answers to the universe.
No, we're figuring it all out right now, though. We're not figuring it all out, but we're starting to see that there's more than we know.
Did you know that about 4 years ago, 4 dozen former NASA astronauts, engineers, and scientists penned a public letter admonishing the space agency for taking a high-profile stance on climate change? Do you know that?
That's... sounds familiar. Why? Because they had enough...
They were retired, and I guess they weren't afraid of a retaliation anymore or anything else.
There
again,
you know, they've been watching it for years, and they had all the... Okay.
Here is part of that, okay? Yeah. Our main objective of determining of what extent CO2 concentrations in our atmosphere can cause detrimental global warming has led us to an objective conclusion that this issue is not settled science. Unfortunately, the scientific progress on this issue has been corrupted by political and special interest influences that determine where our research dollars get spent. Political influences in government-sponsored research have focused climate change research on CO2 rather than a broader range of factors that need better definition, like sun cycles, like everything else that may... explain it, but not be able to benefit. What are you going to do about a sun cycle?
Nothing.
I mean, how can they control you on that other than sell you some kind of a miracle, sun...
silver suit.
Well, yeah.
Silver suits.
Or, you know, even if it's extra strength, some type of skin lotion or something that they say it's...
That's a good one.
It
you
is.
Could call the skin lotion silver suit.
You could.
I don't know why you would, unless you... But that's not bad.
Well, again, you know, this stuff, folks, you've got to take it for what it's worth.
That's a million-dollar idea.
Now NASA's...
silver suits for a second. You know what? With solar flares and whatnot going on...
Right.
That actually, you could make a 30-second commercial. Or, you know what? A 30-minute infomercial and show some of the sun flares and show what happened in this event and let them know the cycle information. Give about 5 minutes of information. Don't anyone steal this. That's a multi-million-dollar idea.
Absolutely. Don't
suits,
you steal it.
Silver suits. Sun suits.
So look at this, too, okay?
As soon as we upload this, that's my idea.
and yes. So, I mean, as of now, it's your idea because it's being recorded.
Oh, that's right. We're live.
So May 29th. Doing a little research, looking back at old articles. May 29th, 2009, okay?
All right.
An international panel of experts led by NOAA and sponsored by NASA has released a new prediction for the next solar cycle. Solar cycle 24, as they call it, will peak, they say, in May of 2013. So here's a Here's a solar cycle that they are predicting in 2009 will peak in May, and we've had four monstrous solar flares in the last 48 hours.
So it'll peak, all right, and then it's just going to all back off for 11 years.
It's gonna start cycling down. But again,
it could happen. Do you think it could happen?
Oh yeah. I mean, here's the point. Again, look at how predictable that these cycles are.
Yeah.
But yet, it's never mentioned in any kind of arguments whenever we're talking about climate change or anything like that. Very seldom is any of that stuff mentioned.
No, it's not. That's a very good point. What's your theory on that?
It's all crap. I mean, as far as what we're being force fed and what we're being fed, period. You're looking at all of this propaganda in a negative way. Looking at everything that's trying to sell us on the ability to control us, and many of us have bought into it, hook, line, and sinker.
51%. Yep.
So, there. If you just listen to this episode, do a little research. Research it yourself. Look around. You'll see that whenever Mount Pinatubo blew, that the Earth was cooler for 2 years. For 2 years. Now. Whenever you're looking at all that carbon dioxide, all the other greenhouse gases, everything else, there was a volcano even over in Hawaii that was releasing an ungodly amount of these greenhouse gases. The thing is, why would you think after a monstrous volcanic explosion like that would the Earth actually cool whenever all those gases are put out?
Because cloud cover.
Well, yeah, a lot of dust, debris, other things are in
sure.
the. But again, you know, now NASA's come out with a report saying that they believe that carbon dioxide may actually have a cooling effect. NASA did.
Oh well, that completely goes in the face of all this temperature rising from the greenhouse gases.
And that is something that you can look up too.
Well, you know what?
NASA's Langley Research Center has collated data proving that greenhouse gases actually block up to 95% of the harmful solar rays from reaching our planet.
When did NASA come out with this study?
In the last month.
And when is NASA getting dropped from
right.
government?
Well, that's what it's saying, that this is a direct conflict with many of its... it'll give its funding cut.
It's already getting cut, isn't it?
Yeah.
Aren't we
well, maybe that's why this is finally coming out.
That's what I'm afraid. Guess what?
Just like with
Here
the...
comes Area 51. So right. you be ready for it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The data was collected by sounding of the atmosphere using broadband emission radiometry, or SABR. SABR monitors infrared emissions from Earth's upper atmosphere, and in particular from carbon dioxide and nitric oxide, two substances thought to be playing a key role in energy balance of air above our planet's surface. So they have found that this stuff is actually blocking 95% of it, of the ultraviolet and other radiation that's coming from the sun.
Well, then that's good stuff to have.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Rev engines at stoplights. That'll get you killed by some of these enviro freaks.
Well, you're making a good point. We're having loads of emissions from that one volcano in Hawaii.
Loads.
Actually, from that one volcano in Hawaii, I wonder if it's more than we've actually put into the air since we started the Industrial Revolution in the 1800s in America. I wonder how much we've actually put every car.
Here's the thing, and most of what I've seen on those reports and things like that, they try to almost spin it like it's a different type of CO2. Not buying it.
Oh, a different type of
CO2. Not buying it, okay? It's about like not buying the president's position of Benghazi, that they were actually trying to take Chris Stevens to the hospital, trying to assist him in the streets as they were dragging him, snapping pictures of his dead body.
Well, it seemed like assisting because, you know, I've
seen... And how
come
nobody's playing that clip?
Well, because...
I haven't heard it anywhere.
No.
I haven't heard it since Hillbilly Logic played it.
Nope. That's a very good point. How about the video?
Or the video.
Nope. You won't see it either. Because you can see clearly the people aren't trying to carry him to the hospital.
Oh, absolutely.
He went on the fact that 99% of the people, 99.9, had not seen the video.
Well, Dino, we are going to take us a quick break, brother, and you'll be right back with us for the second half of
The
Really Logic.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You, they walk a while, a country mile, in my hillbilly
shoes. This is the Grassroots Minute. Hey, Missouri concealed carry weapon permit holders. You can now fight back about your privacy being violated by the governor and his minions over the Department of Revenue. There is now a CCW Privacy Protected Complaint form you can fill out and send to the Concealed Weapons Permit Protection Unit with the Osage County Sheriff's Office. You can download this complaint form at Missouri Grassroots Coalition's Facebook page or at www.missourigrassrootscoalition.org. This is an effort we can't lay down on. Do it today to protect yours and your fellow concealed carry weapon holders and to bring to justice those who violated your rights under Missouri state law. I'm Terry Varner for the Grassroots Minute.
You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
You better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
And welcome back to Hillbilly Logic. If you would like to join us this evening, you can call in at 347-677-1835. Feel free to join us. I know that Dave Court, like I said, has been doing some pretty neat stuff on Saturday nights. If you're out there and you'd like to jump in here and contribute as far as just telling us what's going on Saturday nights, that would be great too. But in the meantime, we are going to go ahead and continue until he decides to or not to do that. Dave, are you there?
I'm here. How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking, my friend.
Good show.
Dave, maybe we can expand on this just a little bit. Do you see any better opportunity for us to try to advance the cause for the fair tax than what we've got presently?
I don't. The outrage at the IRS should be great from both sides of the aisle. Even liberals should be able to look at what's going on and say, well, you know, if it's them this year, what's going to happen. And quite frankly, if you've been following this and doing any research, this is nothing new. I mean, the IRS has been abused by presidents and congressmen since forever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what I'm saying is I think the climate is right to really try to push forward and try to educate folks on the fair tax and all the research that's gone into it, and try to go ahead and make this change and get rid of this tyrannical branch of threat that dangles over the American people's heads at any given time. Just get rid of it. It's not working. It doesn't work well. How many more pages can we add to the tax code? Let's not try to buff it up a little bit. Let's get rid of it. Let's get rid of it and actually migrate to something that'll work, that has the opportunity to work. You are doing a show on Saturdays now, correct?
We are. We started our inaugural show was last Saturday night, where we started, and we're just following the. It's educational at this point. What we're trying to do is for the first 8 to 10 weeks, we will just step by step through the textbook, which is the Fair Tax Book by Borchin Linder. And so last week we talked about, you know, because before people can get on fire about the fair tax, it's imperative that they understand exactly how much tax they pay to the government. You referred earlier to, if you had to sit down on April 15th and write a damn check for what you owe, instead of having it withheld,
it would all be over.
Infuriated.
Yeah, it would be over. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
But on top of the fact that you pay all this tax, and that's you and me. I mean, even people who don't believe they pay any tax because they get it all back at the end of the year, they've lost a lot because they're still being withheld at a rate of 15% to 22%. They're still having FICA or Social Security tax held out of their checks that they never get back.
Right.
They're losing a lot of investment power with that money that's being withheld. And in addition to that, 22% of every retail product or service you buy is taxed.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that's the other thing that people don't realize. Again, just to the extent of our final tax, our final taxation that we pay during the course of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, the studies indicate that no matter what you earn, whether you earn minimum wage or $65,000 a year, you quite likely pay, even if you get back everything that's withheld, you quite likely pay 50% of everything you earn to the federal government.
That's what they say 6 months out of the year is the government's.
Yeah.
That ought to get you irate, too.
It should. Now, when you say 22%, if the fair tax went through, would that drop 22% off everything at the store that I'm buying too?
Well, you can do the thought process and to get to that point. You know, I can go into the grocery store and there's a candy bar from Company H and a candy bar from Company N, both chocolate candy bars, both $1.89.
Okay.
The primary driver of capitalism is market share. So imagine that both Ann and H stop paying corporate taxes tomorrow. How long until one of them drops the price of the candy bar?
Well,
for market
yep.
share.
Sure.
You know, I mean, the perfect day-to-day example to prove the truth of this is gasoline. What
right.
happens when one station in town goes down 2 cents?
Right.
Yeah, you're right. It's supply and demand.
Depends on how close it is to the interstate these days.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah. Or one station on the interstate goes down 2 cents.
Right. It seems like all of them around Dave, all of them around the interstate around here, Dave, lately are remaining 17 to 20 cents higher than those that are off the beaten path.
They do, but having worked at a gas station at one
right.
time in my life that was on an interstate, they're
right.
they're competing and comparing themselves to other interstate gas stations.
Yeah.
So let an interstate gas station drop 2 cents.
Absolutely.
Right.
I know exactly what you're saying. You're 100% right. I wasn't trying to refute it. And
no,
if you,
yeah.
If you look at those areas by the interstate of the similar gas stations or the gas stations around that area, and they're all right there within a penny. And right. And they're all 17 cents higher than the ones that are, you know, 1 mile off the path.
That's right.
So,
well, I mean,
it makes sense.
Yeah, there is some argument. There is some argument that oh, yeah, the companies wouldn't return this money to the consumer. They'd give it to their shareholders, okay? They give it, you know, they use it for more advertising. Well, all well and good. You know, I mean, today, whatever money the shareholders get came out of your pocket. Whatever money is spent for advertising came out of your pocket. I mean, it all came out of that $1.89 that you pushed across the counter for that candy bar. Sooner or later, one of those two candy bar companies at pressure from their shareholders is going to go after a bigger market share.
You know, I bet you it would be sooner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, if you look at it, you're actually letting the free market work too,
right.
in this scenario. So it's the closest that we're going to come to allowing the free market to work in a manner that should benefit most everybody.
Capitalism.
Yeah, so on our last show, and if your listeners missed it, they can go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Missouri Grassroots Radio button and listen to the podcast of that show. On our last show, that's what we dealt with. We dealt with how much tax you pay, what form that tax is. Some of it is when you buy that candy bar. Some of it is direct withholding from your payroll. Some of it is Social Security tax. Some of it is excise taxes, some of it is gift tax, inheritance tax, all these other taxes that go away when the fair tax comes around. And we're talking about, you know, just to be revenue neutral, we're talking about a fair tax of 23%. Well, gosh, you're already paying 50% of everything you earn to the federal government.
No doubt.
You know, whenever we look at this now would that also be considering the federal government operating at more of its enumerated powers or at the level it's operating now?
That's two different issues. Two different issues, and people tend to try to sidetrack your discussion of the fair tax by saying, I'd rather just see the government spend less money. Well,
right.
Yeah, we'd all like to see the government spend less money. The fair tax is currently calculated to be revenue neutral. That is at 23%. The federal government will take in as much money next year as it took in this year.
That's my question.
And go ahead. Yeah, and we will fight government spending on a different front.
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that.
A front that could work.
Yeah. Fine. So the 23 cents was factoring in today's function of the federal government and its
current
role.
That's exactly right. It would pay all the Social Security. There'd be no more Social Security tax. It'd pay all the Medicare. There'd be no Medicare tax. It would pay all the food stamps. It would pay all of the things that you and I think the government shouldn't be buying. And on a different battlefield, we can fight government spending. But right now, we've got to take the power away from these people. And quite frankly, Kevin, and I don't mean to monopolize your show. I'm sorry.
No, you're not, brother.
But you cannot reasonably talk about cutting government spending until you talk about something akin to the fair tax or something. It doesn't have to be the fair tax. But until you talk about something, and the fair tax is it in my book, that will explode the private sector economy the way the fair tax will. Because when you talk about cutting $1 trillion and how many trillion you think we got to cut, about 14, 15 just to balance the budget?
Right.
When you talk about cutting $1 trillion, you're talking about unemploying another million people.
Right.
So you talk about cutting $10 trillion, you're talking about unemploying 10 million people. And until the private sector is growing at a rate that it can absorb that, you're asking for a disaster. You know, anybody who tells you, I'm going to cut $1 trillion next year is lying to your face because they're not going to do it.
Right.
They're inviting disaster if they do. If we have some kind of a program, fair tax, that causes the private sector economy to explode at such a rate that it can absorb that unemployment increase,
right?
Then we can start talking seriously about cutting $13 trillion out of the budget.
Sure. And if you look at today's statistics, a lot of this private sector jobs that they're talking about that is created in a month, a lot of them are actually subbed out government jobs.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. They are. You know, when I say you're unemploying a million people, I'm not talking about a million people that work direct, that get a check from the federal government. I'm talking about road and bridge builders. I'm talking about people in universities doing studies. I'm talking about all of these things that the federal government is pumping money into through the private sector that is, quote unquote, creating jobs.
Now, we had kind of touched on the history of taxes and the fact that much of the tax base used to be derived from imports and exports. That is a very intriguing part of the fair tax that I really like, is how it would affect the taxes whenever it's dealing with the consumption of products in this country. Those that we export. You know, again, it just seems like a way to help our manufacturers, even if it's you know, it's not huge, it's going to be helpful to them to be exporting these products without that tax. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's no tax directly on the person who's making candy bar N and candy bar H. They, after the fair tax comes into effect, they pay no tax one way or the other.
Sure.
A tax is collected on any candy bar, whether it's made in Hong Kong or whether it's made in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Right.
That's sold in the United States.
Now,
no 23% sales tax is collected on any candy bar that's sold in Hong Kong.
Right.
Whether it was made in Hong Kong or whether it was made we compete in Hong Kong with whatever sales tax they pay in Hong Kong, not with the extra 23% U.S. sales tax.
Right, right. So that would have to make a significant difference in a competitive marketplace whenever we're looking at our exported goods and the fact that any of those goods that are imported from China or Hong Kong or anywhere else, whenever they were purchased, you know, that consumption tax would be applied to those
imports. Absolutely.
So that is now granted. The American-made goods would also endure that here in the States, but at least whenever it's shipped out, it would help give us a competitive edge.
That's right.
So I really do like that aspect of it. But what time is that on Saturdays that you guys
7 o'clock on Saturday nights. Yeah, this week we're going to talk about withholding and the history of that and how it came about and what the damage that it does to the economy just in and of itself.
What a great lesson. And Dave, if this is my biggest concern, is trying to see if the politicians on all parties will give up that power that they possess in the tax code. Do you think it's possible to sell them on that? I mean, I'm all for trying.
I think it's possible, Kevin, but it's only possible if we do it at the level that we're trying to do it. It's only possible when the people make them. They're not ever going to willingly relinquish all that power that they wield up there, and that power has become front page headlines in the last 2 weeks. So we know they use it. I mean, not only that, but they it's not only the power of the audit, but it's the power that they have of regulating our behavior. We'll tax you if you drive this car. We'll give you a tax break if you drive that car. We'll tax you if you smoke. We'll give you a tax break if you go to a smoking cessation class. We'll tax you. And I'm not saying everybody go out and smoke cigarettes. What I'm saying is you've got a federal government that through the tax code slaps your hand or gives you a cookie.
Right. You know, Dave, they've started again, not only in purchasing behavior, but just as an example, you know, there are tax breaks and other things that have been started to be delivered or given to people that carpool, that do these other things that they want to try to move us toward. And I remember a couple of years ago there was a big debate because the people that worked at Boeing in St. Louis. The IRS was actually saying that if they worked somewhere else Many of the people that are employed in similar fashion have to pay $6 a day for parking. So they wanted to tax these folks on $6 for every day of free parking that Boeing gave them. And only in government can we operate that way.
Well, you're about to get taxed if your private health insurance gives you benefits greater than what the government thinks you deserve. You're going to be taxed for that.
Yeah, and we're gonna once again have a lot of the same agency that we're talking about, the IRS, that is going to be the enforcement power.
Here's today's breaking news, Kevin, off the subject. The person who runs the IRS's branch, did you hear this, that is managing Obamacare, is the person who 6 months ago was running the branch that audited tax-exempt organizations.
Oh, it gets uglier and uglier, doesn't it, brother?
Yeah. The guy that they threw under the bus, he's only been there for three months because he went in there to replace this person who's moved over now, 3 months ago, to run the IRS's enforcement of Obamacare.
Wow.
I was right.
Wow. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff right now. And what do you think, Dave? Just out of curiosity, why do you think all of a sudden that the press has finally started asking just some questions that even resemble what a press should ask?
Well, it's a second term, but more importantly, I believe that the outrages of what this administration is doing has become so large that they can't be ignored anymore. I mean, the press, the mainstream media, is faced with a dilemma. We either are shown up to be the bought and paid for asses that we are, or we get out here and act like a news agency.
You know, do you not find it kind of suspicious that most of these more serious questions are being asked after they found out that Eric Holder was secretly looking into their phone records?
Well,
here's
what I find suspicious, and I forecasted this on my Monday night show 2 weeks ago. I forecasted this thing that's happening right here, not specifically the fact that it was going to be about the IRS, but I forecasted some sort of scandal that the administration would help us illuminate, that the administration would let the press in on, because where's Benghazi now? This Benghazi, right. Is the firecracker that's going to explode everything, okay?
Right.
And it was getting hot. They were calling witnesses. The White House, on the same day that the president fired the head of the IRS, the White House released to the Senate subcommittee all of their emails and messages that went back and forth between them and the State Department over Benghazi. So the administration comes out. Now you've suddenly got Harry Reid saying, oh, well, this is unacceptable. We're all going to have to have a look into this. You've got this thing exploding into front page, top of the hour story news, and Benghazi's finally back on page three, and finally a 30-second spot five stories down in the news.
Right.
Nice.
Now again, and I've located an old the old press conference, the original press conference that the president let out. I'm going to play that before the show's up, too, because I've heard nobody else do it, Dave. And that is whenever he's talking about them dragging them to the hospital, helping him to a hospital, all of that kind of stuff. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that is so incriminating. And it's right back to where we, you know, the heart of the scandal. It is. I agree with you. It is the firecracker that could totally, if they're able to investigate it the way that it should be, and the questions are asked that should be asked. I don't know how in the world. I don't know how in the world anybody would survive an office in anything.
Well,
like
see, not only is it a firecracker for Obama, who really doesn't give a crap, quite frankly. He's got three more years, and he can coast through 3 years. I mean, an impeachment hearing would take a year of that. And then the Senate wouldn't throw him out once the House impeached him. The Senate trial wouldn't find him guilty. He's going to survive. But more importantly to him and his party is this is ruining Hillary, who is their best shot
right.
at another eight.
Well, I actually heard somebody throw out there Hillary and then Michelle. Hillary and Michelle.
Yeah.
How would you like that ticket?
Oh, my goodness. That's scary.
Yeah.
It is scary. Oh, Dave, man, I certainly appreciate you jumping in here tonight and sharing, you know, sharing your views.
Dave, on Saturdays at 7 with the Fairtax Show. Thanks for the bump.
Dave, before you go, I had a question. You talked about the IRS as Obama, you know, let him go unceremoniously. He was going to be gone at the end of June anyway.
Right.
So
at the end of this month, at the 1st of June.
Okay, well,
yeah.
So was this, I mean, is there going to be a slap on the hands or anything happen to this guy, or is it just,
well,
here you go,
well, no, I mean, he's being sacrificed. He had nothing to do with it. He's only been there for 3 months anyway. He was a temporary position for him. He was leaving. He went in the position 3 months ago when this other person got a promotion to the IRS's Obamacare division.
okay.
and so there it was. I mean, he thought he could pull the wool over people's eyes, and he may have done it, because you don't hear this in the news. This little piece of information only broke on Drudge Report about 2 hours ago.
I'll be darned.
Let's see if we hear it on ABC or NBC. No, actually that's not true. This was a Drudge Report link to an ABC news story. So I'm wrong. It is going to make at some level the mainstream media.
Does it not remind you of the Department of Revenue here in Missouri and that guy resigning?
Very much so. Yeah.
Well, is he in there? He got in there in December.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. But that was all right, because I mean he resigned, so that's.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it, brother?
It is. The people who should be blaming their predecessors are not doing so, and the people who shouldn't be blaming their predecessors are doing so.
You know, Dave, it's back to this totally high-stakes political environment that we live in, to where we are capable of justifying the wrongs that are done by our guy and trying to vilify everything done by the other guy. I mean, we just need some intellectual honesty on this. We need to call things out. We need to call wrong wrong and right right, and give kudos to where they belong, and also give slaps where they belong.
I'm a nonpartisan abuser. You know that.
Yep. I know you are. You don't care, and that's why. You are one of my most respected individuals that's on a show or elsewhere, not on a show. I really appreciate you. I appreciate your intellectual honesty. And Dave, I'll call you friend any day, my friend.
Okay. Here. Well, thanks for talking to me tonight, Kevin. Great show. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the solar flare talks, and.
Those are really interesting. If you go and you start researching all this stuff, it's amazing at the stuff that you'll find.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, you know, in a prior life, I was a meteorologist for 25 years. So.
Were you?
Yeah.
That was an easier job back then, wasn't it?
In a prior life,
he was
a gunfighter. He's always got his back to the wall.
I wasn't very good. That's why it was a prior life.
All right, Dave. You're still doing your show on Monday, too, correct?
Still doing the Hour of Truth on Monday nights. This Monday, I believe we're going to have Eric Burleson come and give us a chit-chat about the a little wrap-up on the legislative session. He's been invited anyway. I haven't heard back from him, but he usually accepts when I invite him. We're also going to be talking about a new group that we're active with called Replace Roy. We're going to be starting right away, looking at a short list of names that we can spend 4 years. We got 4 years now to promote a person who can take Roy out in the campaign in the primary.
And you were talking about our state senator Roy Blunt, correct?
Blunt?
Or
we
not
are.
Our state senator, yep. But our senator from Missouri, Roy
we
Blunt.
Are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's that's going to be talked about on Monday, correct?
It is. Yeah. And in a separate battle, we're going to be trying to push a at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. We'll be trying to push a an amendment legislatively to get it on the ballot by November 14th that would amend the Missouri Constitution to allow us. We're currently not allowed, as you know, to recall senators and representatives from Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So we would like to have a Constitution amendment that would allow us to recall senators and representatives if something like Roy ever happens again.
How about just recalling the 17th Amendment?
Well,
right?
You know, we need we need to do the 16th and 17th. Both need to go.
Right. Yep, I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Well, Dave, thank you very much, sir.
Okay.
You got anything you'd like to share?
No. I'll let you go. I'm sorry. I've taken up too much of your time already.
You haven't at all. Have you ever heard have you ever heard of Would You Rather?
It's a game.
It's a game. I was just wondering if you've, on a personal level, if you've ever heard of Would You Rather?
I've never. It's like Truth or Dare, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's kind of. It's just got little cards that you're given a couple of scenarios that aren't the most pleasing, and you have to pick one of the two.
You've been perusing this for a minute. Are you dying to answer?
No, I was just
one.
Okay. Would you rather be accosted by three walnut chucking attackers or three baseball professional baseball players hurling wiffle ball bats?
Wiffle balls, you mean?
Wiffle ball bats, not hurling them, but swinging wiffle ball bats.
Or people throwing walnuts?
Or three people throwing walnuts at you.
Golly, that's a horrible thing. Do you get points for it?
You know, I always thought that would be like the worst capital punishment there was, death by wiffle ball bat.
Is there? I'd say walnuts. What does that say about me?
I don't know.
Well, then what a silly game.
Yeah, absolutely. What a silly game.
There you go, Dave. Don't pick this up at your local store.
Yeah, I think
you'll pass on that? Well, it'll be interesting, Dave.
Would you rather drive from Los Angeles to Boston in a 1968 Bug or ride on a Carnival cruise?
Now we're talking. There you go.
Yeah, and we can have a lot of different ones that deal with people. I mean, you know, would you rather have dinner with? We could draw out a couple of names and
good call.
Yeah,
that'd be an interesting show.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. Well, there may be a reason for that. It's actually some of them can be a little interesting and amusing, but some of them not so.
Well, Dave, we will definitely be listening to you on Saturdays and Mondays.
Both of them
thank
at 7
very
o'clock.
Much.
On Missouri
thanks
Grand
for the bump.
Street. Thank you,
thanks
Dave.
And I'm glad to have the old hillbilly back.
All right. Hillbilly's glad to be here, brother.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right.
Thanks,
thank you.
Dave.
Good night.
Let's go ahead and we're going to take a quick break and get into Obama's full press conference right after the Benghazi. simply amazing, isn't it?
He's notorious for pausing his speech patterns when he lies. Have you noticed that? As soon as he breaks into a lie, he'll stop and think about what
I can honestly say that I never really noticed that before.
I'm noticing.
No, I'm noticing. But again, I want you to listen to what he says.
Already, many Libyans have joined us in doing so, and this attack will not break the bonds between the United States and Libya. Libyan security personnel fought back against the attackers alongside Americans. Libyans helped some of our diplomats find safety, and they carried Ambassador Stevens's body to the hospital, where we tragically learned that he had died.
Are you kidding me? I mean, I don't know where to start with that. I don't know where to end with that.
I know.
That's an absolutely horrible...
The mastermind behind the whole thing, his jaw was on the ground.
Yeah, literally.
We didn't carry him to the hospital. We were dragging him through.
Right.
Everybody in Afghanistan's going to make fun of us. What video?
Right.
What video?
Right.
A video?
Video.
That's a non-event.
Yeah.
Video.
Right.
We've been planning this thing for months.
Who sold it? Jay Carney, honestly, you know, they ought to just send out John Lovitz.
That'd be, I know.
Absolutely. And just get it over with.
For it. Yep.
In fact, where's
Tommy
show?
Whenever we need Tommy?
Flanagan.
Tommy Flanagan, yes.
That's it. He's the
We need Tommy
one.
Flanagan.
Oh, I think we've got him.
He's close.
He's all over every
He's
time
close.
I turn on the news and I'm watching. And when they're saying good things about it.
I have to ask you this, Dean. Would you rather wake up to find your neck has grown 5 inches longer or that your rear end has doubled in size? Which one? You want a 5-inch longer neck or a double the butt?
I'm going to double my butt. My neck's already.
I always joke around with this noodle I've got. Unfortunately, it's empty, but it's like, you know, you can see, like, whenever little kids look at me and stuff, it's like, you know, you can read their mind. They're thinking, how does that support?
Inches,
how does his neck support that thing?
You'd be like E.T. You'd be the tallest gray I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Now, there we go. So, it's, I wonder, in this super bright comet, is it going to be followed by any kind of UFOs? Or
It's doubtful.
47,000 miles per hour, baby.
I think the last one was.
47,000 miles per hour.
47,000.
Currently, the only way to see the comet is through the Hubble telescope. It is 386 million miles from the sun, currently. They're actually kind of wondering if it's supposed to go so close to the sun, and that's why it's supposed to be so bright, that they're wondering if it'll even survive.
That the sun might burn it up first. Huh. Well.
By the time it's all said and done.
The Hubble should get some video of that if it does.
Actually, you'll be able to see it. Personally, I guess, huh?
Sun.
Well, no, but I mean, as far as...
Get your binoculars, kids. Solar flares.
I remember, you can hear 3 decades from now, you know, where they're talking about the time they're dead.
Yeah. Why are you blind?
Gotcha.
Well, it's a funny story.
Kind of. Sort of.
Sort of.
I had an active dad. He liked to have projects.
Yeah.
But he didn't. His judgment wasn't good, really.
Terrible.
So I don't know. When we're looking at,
I do love all that stuff, though.
It's pretty cool, and I tell you, it's going to be pretty mind-boggling to see something that's brighter than the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we look out there. But you know what's really weird, and whenever we're looking at as we close things out on the show.
Are we nearing that time?
We are. We're down to 11 ticks.
We must have been having fun.
I think we were.
Okay.
Have you got anything that you'd like to share before we get closed out?
You know, you're making me look at those silly cards you were looking at. I'm going to end up buying that dumb game.
It's addictive. Oh, it is addictive. Like I said, there was one on there. It was...
Would you rather...
Cha-ching. Would you rather tell your boss that he had a booger on his lip before he went into an important meeting... Or would you rather not tell him and hope that he doesn't remember that you had the opportunity to tell him?
Do I like my boss?
I don't know. I guess that would let you know.
Variables.
There are variables.
No, I don't.
Here's the one invariable, okay?
Uh-huh.
Be thy atheist or a theist. There is one area that there is an agreement on, whether it's any kind of philosophy that is out there. When we're looking at atheists and theists, in the beginning, there was nothing. Correct?
Correct. I guess.
There was no time, no space, no matter.
That's right.
There wasn't even emptiness, only nothingness. So that's and then bang, right?
That's what Isn't we've it? Been told.
The plural, the plurality, the point.
Yes.
You know, so.
The explosion from whence it all came.
Everything. Non-existence became existence, correct? Nothing became in less than an instant, or inconceivably vast and finely tuned universe governed by what mankind would later call, after we too popped into existence from nowhere, fully armed with consciousness, conscious awareness, and the ability to think, communicate, and observe natural law or physics. So out of this nothingness, we have the natural laws and physics and everything that we know that exists. Now, that's what those that will ascribe to the scientific theory and those many on the theist side will agree on. Correct?
I would agree with that.
Time, space, earth, life, finally, human life, we're not. And then they were.
That is correct. Well, over time is what the atheist would say.
So the overwhelming consensus among scientists, whether they believe in God or deny him, is that the Big Bang was a moment of singularity in the only feasible explanation to account for a universe and everything in it. All things natural or all things material must have a beginning and an end. So yeah, from the scientific side, that's what's brought out. And again, you know, whenever you're looking at...
I can believe that.
So whenever you're looking at, again, on the theist side, still scientists disagree over the who, what, when, where, why, and how of it all. So...
See, there's where your theists come in.
Right. The theists, or at least, you know, those that believe as we know it, or in Genesis, you know, we believe that a benevolent, omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient God who transcends time and space created all this.
Waved his hand.
Right.
And there was a big bang.
So this is, as it goes, the only way to account for a universe teeming with evidence of design, painstakingly engineered and clearly crafted by a superior intelligence that far exceeds man's finite ability to comprehend.
We haven't even gotten into wormholes yet.
So everything cannot come from nothing.
No.
And if anybody would
there
like
was
to,
something.
Right.
They said it was all squoze down to the size of on the head of a pin.
Okay.
But that's still something. So billions of planets and suns and all that, you know, it was just waiting to blow.
Whenever we're looking at Psalm 19:1 says, the heaven declares the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands.
There
Others say it ain't so. So secular materialists and atheists claim it can't be. And that there's all kinds of... you know, again, we're back to the way that things change all the time. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I really don't.
That is a very smart saying right there.
It is.
It takes more faith to be an atheist than it does.
I don't have enough faith to be an atheist.
No. You know what? When the scientist will come out and tell you, I'm not saying it's God, but yes, there was some type of creation that happened here. I think that says it all. Honestly.
Yeah. Well, if we look at it, atheists attribute all of existence to nothing. It just kind of happened. So it's many, 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 many. There's much debate and much philosophy and much everything else when we look at all this stuff, right? I mean, I know one thing. It's I'm sorry, but I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. Whenever we're looking at just how, you know, what they ascribe to, what their beliefs are. In short, the Big Bang blows atheism sky high.
Well, it certainly it seems as though it would. And I think once you look at, and I've always said, as far as Darwinism goes, I will believe in small changes. You split the Grand Canyon, I think the tail might change in color from the squirrels from one side to the other, but the squirrel doesn't become a raccoon.
Well, and here's the thing, and you hit on it, and that is that there is proof. There's macro evolution and there's micro evolution. We always just hear of evolution. Micro evolution is what you're talking about, and that is maybe a genetic
mutation.
A genetic tendency that, you know, you have a bunch of dark-eyed people having children, you're going to end up with dark-eyed children most of the time, you know. So that is there, but there is zero proof of macroevolution, which is something changing species.
Right.
And that is the hang-up. But one of the things that I saw this week, actually, and before we close out here, I'm going to try to find it real quick. And that was actually it was something on and you can try to look it up. It was dealing with the reefs and Darwin's theory of on the reefs, and they said that though he was mostly right, he was wrong in this theory that he put forth too on the development of these reefs. And
like what, like the Galapagos Islands?
Yeah, and basically what it was that they change the ability for reefs to build up and everything else changes with the depth of the water, with the cold or the warmth of the water, and with all the rest. Well, he was looking at reef system that everything was ideal for that development to be put forth the way that he ascribed to it. But whenever you look at other places like Hawaii and other places, then we're looking at a totally different situation whenever it deals with reefs.
And again, would change.
Sure. And again, so it's
you know what, he was looking at such a small little area.
Absolutely, but it was part of his theory. And it was part of help develop his whole theory on evolution.
That's true.
So that's true.
But what if, you know, one of those big sea walruses came through and ate a whole bunch of stuff right before? Maybe those big jellyfish came in and killed a bunch of stuff right before it got there. And we wouldn't have any of this stuff. He would have said the Galapagos is a sucky island. Anything on it. And
would you rather? Would you rather?
It could have happened just that simply.
Or a
tsunami. A tsunami could have wiped it out a day before he got there. We talked about that earlier. Fishermen right above the thing don't even feel it. They drove their boat 150 miles
Isn't
over there
something?
And they found a wiped out island. Yep. But he didn't. He found all the cool stuff.
Yes. Yep.
Which is cool, but, you know, let's face it, that's just, who knows how some of that stuff got there anyway. And now we're finding animals that we thought were extinct for 35 million years are popping up in 1930.
Right, absolutely.
A few years ago.
Yep.
We don't know.
It continues. I saw a special the other day on the ocean bottom. Whenever you're over a mile deep, and the wildlife and the abundance of life
like
down
5
there,
miles down, yeah.
That is insane, and so much of it that they don't even know. They're still trying to name stuff.
Some of that washed up exactly. Some of that stuff washed up on the last tsunami, and they found a whole bunch of it. I watched a special on a TV, and I saw luckily a lot of the creatures. Because I would have had no idea what I was looking at. But actually, one night before, and then on YouTube the next day, all this YouTube, but I looked up strange creatures after tsunami that washed on shore. And those things, they are. They live 4 or 5 miles down. They're going to die on the way up. The pressure is so much different. I it kind of throws me as to how it could get sucked up before, making it into shore.
And
those things are so far out.
Absolutely. Speaking of far out, we're going to have to dedicate a program to nothing but the bizarre and the unusual.
We should do that. We'll call up Dr. Michael again.
Because I am bizarre and unusual.
Well, I'm going to put you on YouTube. Let's see if you go viral.
All right. Thanks for listening to us tonight. I appreciate you guys coming in. Dean, always, brother. It's a privilege to have you, my friend.
And you
same
all
thing
will
with...
never get that 2 hours back.
No matter how hard you try or how much money you offer,
there you
it's
go.
Just not going to happen. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Hillbilly Logic. Catch us next Thursday right here on MGC Radio.
See ya.